This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
103, welcome back to it. In the Box continues on TSN 1200. Oh, man. Oh, do we want to encourage
this? Starting the hour with, oh, man. Oh, you got Triple J coming in.
Keep moving.
Keep moving?
Yeah, don't look at the accident on the other side of the road. Just keep driving by.
Well, you're getting ripped for playing Nickelback.
Yeah,
that's
why?
Good.
Why Nickelback?
Everybody's hatred for Nickelback is overrated.
I'm on board with that. I can understand, right? It's kind of like, before that it was Def Leppard back in the day, sounding everything.
Yeah,
everything
Def
sounds
Leppard
the same.
Sucks.
Sounds the same. Nickelback sounds the same. I can remember, especially the, you know, when Brian Johnson became the lead singer of AC/DC. Oh, it all sounds the same. I can get that.
You too.
But sometimes it gets to a point where it does get a little much, and you could say that about so many artists. Right, I can listen to a Led Zeppelin song, and I know it's a Led Zeppelin. It doesn't have to be one of their hits. It's like, yeah, okay, that's their sound. That's their thing, right? To be fair on it, we had CJ is going to be co-hosting with me tomorrow. Graham's ditching me.
Yep.
CJ and I did a show. Oh man, it's a while ago now. I remember where we were. We were at the studio at the rink doing it, and Nickelback was coming to town to play a concert, and one of our radio stations was kind of sponsoring the event. And so there was an interview lined up, and something happened where they were kind of promised there was an interview that was, you know, part of the whole deal, right, to promote the show that was supposed to be in one of the music stations, and it didn't work out. I said, hey, maybe the guys at TSN 1200 can help us out, do the interview. And we're like, all right, sure, we'll interview. And it was one of the guitarists for Nickelback. And it was an awesome interview. And I'll give CJ all the credit in the world. He kind of asked the elephant in the room question that kind of got it rolling. You're like, this guy could hang up or it could be interesting. And he eloquently phrased it, a little bit of a soft shoe question. But basically the question was, why does everybody, you know, this traction on social media that you guys suck and all these memes are made and all these jokes are made about Nickelback this and are you guys, how aware of you are of that? And he said, oh, yeah, we're well aware. And he gave a great answer in talking about it. He didn't get mad. And I kind of came away with a little more respect because basically also what he was saying, like, how much money are they worth? Like, how many albums have they sold worldwide? So it was really cool. Anyways, Nickelback gets mentioned, and I had a point, as I like to point out. When I go off the beaten path, my point was CJ's co-hosting tomorrow. Because Graham's leaving me.
Yeah.
He's going to be live from TD Place.
Yeah, looking forward to that because I'm sticking around, baby, and I'm taking in my first Red Blacks game as a fan ever. Beers will be flowing. Times will be good. Hopefully they can stop a BC team that looks really good. You don't want us to go 0-3 to start the year, despite starting against the two-time defending champs and then the BC Lions, who look incredible. You don't want to be 0-3. So looking for a good night leading into Canada Day where we're all off. Yes, I will be at TD Place tomorrow.
All right, now I've started something now. I can listen to a Greta Van Fleet song and know it's a Led Zeppelin song, Jeff.
That actually comes in from Mark Borgon. Mark, not a fan of Greta.
This one. Did you just imply that all Led Zeppelin songs sound the same? I truly hope not. No,
yes,
didn't.
You did. You,
no,
you said
listen.
Led Zeppelin sucks. Every song sounds the same.
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah, sure. Yes. If you hear a Zeppelin song, you're not confusing it with, wow, it may be that Zeppelin. No, you know it's Zeppelin. That's all I'm saying. Hold your horses. I like to get the lead out just as much as the next guy. It's all good. My goodness. Wow. Is this what it's going to become now, the last hour
of
the show?
Yeah, people arguing about bands and the triple triple B versus triple D versus triple J versus Kenny.
Versus Kenny. Kenny starts as the referee, but when Kenny gets fired up about this stuff, he kind of gets into the fight, right?
Okay, what I'll add, this is, you can continue going on if you want, but I'll wrap it up this way for you if you want. Triple D has responded, basically saying, that's the problem with this guy stealing my handle. Sounds so similar, you guys don't know who is who. While Triple B has added that, good thing this isn't an AJ program, because then I'd be getting the block.
Now, okay, so Triple D was the one that said, okay, that's the problem, we're too similar in handle. Maybe one of you, this is an opportunity.
I want to know with your...
You want to change the handle.
What does Triple B and Triple D stand for? Do we know that?
Well, Triple D could be a little sorted, possibly.
Yeah, it could be. I just want to know why... Like those are pretty... Those are two very similar handles. Triple D and Triple B. And that's... It's not like we're talking about a Steve and a Steven here. Like... Where,
are we talking?
Explain your name. I want to hear.
Okay. Triple D and Triple B. Either one of you, is that your name? Is it like first name starts with a D, middle initials a D, last name's a D, same with the B's? Is that possible? Could it be that simple? It's an opportunity, though. You got to go old school Prince. Just become a symbol or something. Or you could go totally like. One of the most recent organic names is Forklift Guy. Forklift Guy was just a guy. He was just another great listener, happened to be listening from BC. All of a sudden, dropped a little Forklift Guy because he's operating a forklift in the rain. We're talking weather that day, and he became Forklift Guy.
Yeah.
See, those are the best handles, the organic ones.
You never
want to be guy that gives yourself a nickname guy. Right?
Yeah.
In life, usually that's not how it works. You don't give yourself your own nickname.
Okay, T-Bone. T-Bone, Triple D's asking who the F is Triple J. Josh has begun signing his Texas JJJ.
Oh, man. We have a Triple C now. I guess we're going to go through the alphabet. Is that how this is going to work now?
Oh, man. Steve just wants to stop.
Okay, we will. All right, let's stop this. Stop the insanity. Web poll question of the day is brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store. Had a lot of draft talk, especially earlier in the show. Grant McCagg joined us from Recruits, talk about his ranking, his list, and still looking back on the release of Bob McKenzie's final rankings from yesterday. We have a simple question today at our web poll. Who's the best player in this year's draft? Is it Yuri Slavkovsky, or is it Shane Wright, or is it the ever-popular other? Kenny, he chose other because he's playing the percentages, because there's a very good chance that the best player in the draft is somebody other than just two guys. Smart play by Kenny. I kind of went with Slavkovsky, and I preface that like I always do. I'm not a scout. I'm not working at this. I'm not putting guides together. My opinions are formulated from people that do know and talking to them, reading what they – all that stuff. So I guess I'm kind of leaning towards Slavkovsky at this point. And that's who's leading the poll, by the way. It's 40.7. Shane Wright's at 35.6. Other is 23.8. So keep those votes coming at our website at tsn1200.ca. And as we get closer and closer, it will be more and more interesting. And saying this for a while, I would not be surprised at all. The Sens pick, yeah, okay, it's in play. But you're not just going to trade it for the sake of it. It's got to be you're getting something of tremendous value, because that's still a very valuable asset. And I wouldn't be shocked at all it's going to come right down to when it's their turn to pick. They could be pick a guy. Maybe they love Kemmel. Maybe Trent Mann just absolutely loves him. Or pick anybody else that could be around there. And the word's going to be, you know what, we can make this trade for such and such, whatever. But if this guy's here at 7, do not trade the pick. This is how much we love this guy. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning to wanting to see the pick made now. still acquire your top six forward and top four D via other assets, future picks perhaps, next year's first, free agency, but also take the pick.
All right.
I'm distracted by all these texts coming in from the listeners weighing in on other listeners.
Oh, all right. Well, let's take a break there. We need a reset. This has got out of control here. We'll come back. Reset.
Are we blaming Kenny? What happened there?
No, I'll take the blame on this. It's just, you know, a bee won't sting you if you leave it alone.
Yeah, you're going to take the blame on that because when you start out the segment, oh, man.
That's right. Totally.
Yeah, I'm not taking the blame for telling you guys to drive past and not look at the accident that's happening on the text right now.
Welcome to hour four of the broadcast. Oh, man. Welcome to hour four. Here we go. Oh, boy. This is brutal. But Kenny started by saying Triple B sucks or something like that.
All right, we're back in a moment. In the Box continues. I'll get it back on the rails on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Is this a creature request?
No, but I'm shocked he's playing it because, like, 30 seconds before he played it, he's like, I'm playing Nickelback for the next two songs. And then he played this. I'm like, what are you doing?
This could not be further away from Nickelback, really.
Love some Neil, though.
Yeah, only connection is both Canadian. Is that? Nazem Kadri's had his say today. There's a lot of talk about what's going on with Nazem Kadri in the offseason. What a year he had. The way he played when he came into the final. How about the game-winning goal? In overtime. So he was on doing radio with Nick Kiprios. And the kind of the setup question was, asking him if his value is at an all-time high. He says, how could it not be? The Kroenkes have been great supporters of mine. I made it clear to me they'd like me to stay. But also we understand there's a business aspect involved. We're going to try to work together. I've shown what my worth is, and I'm just looking forward to watching this all develop. Now, he's coming off a contract that paid him $4.5 million annually, 31 years old. Just a fantastic career year for Nazem Kadri. I'd be very surprised if the Avalanche were able to keep him because it's not just about this season. You're getting Nate MacKinnon done, aren't you, Graham, like this summer as he enters the last year of his deal? Like, you have to know what you're paying Nate MacKinnon, and it's going to be a lot more money. Can they possibly keep Kadri? Then they still have got Rantanen, and they still got Landeskog on big money term contracts as well, and Makar with what he's making. I don't know. Like, it just hey,
at least they've got him locked in at nine, because it could have been more than that.
Yeah,
if they like let that go any longer,
that's going to be a bargain for Cale Makar. As you know, we had that discussion a few times. Sean Allard, skating and development skills coach with the Avalanche, who's originally from Petawawa, lives in Kanata, and a lot of minor hockey families know Sean Allard in this town. He was on this morning. He just casually threw that in there. He says, you know, Kale's probably maybe the best player in the world right now. And they got him on at that contract. And he's just starting out. And they got him locked up. But anyways, back on point here. Kadri should be going to market. He should be getting as much as he possibly can. And I can't see the Avalanche being able to match whatever is out there beyond what they can do here. He's earned the right.
Absolutely. He's flirting with a 100-point season if he plays all 82. Point a game, basically, in the playoffs. And a few of those games played with a broken thumb. And obviously brings that agitation side of the game as well too. He's a real good player, and he deserves to get paid. At the same time, wonder if they try to figure out a way to get creative, because you watch what Tampa Bay just did. You always want to continue winning, and they have so much of their core is young or still like has multiple prime years left. Run it back, see if you can win multiple cups and start your own dynasty. It's like, gonna be difficult for sure, but get creative, see what you can do.
Like we've had this conversation about what money they could possibly move to, you know, keep some of their guys. Like Kadri's going to be the biggest ticket, right? Nikushkin. It's going to be a good chunk of change if they want to bring back Burakovsky as well. Those are the three big forwards that are UFAs up front. And do you want to bring back Lekkonen, who's on the RFA as well? But on the back end, it'd be Eric Johnson, $6 million. He's entering his last year. You could probably move on from that. He would have to agree to it. He's got some trade protection, or maybe you would just buy him out. Gerard is the big one. He's got a lot of term left at five. You would think that they would be looking to move him.
Yeah.
If move him along. You'd save some there. But then you still got to fill out your defense, though, right? Then all of a sudden, you're getting pretty thin. Like, Bowen Byram still on entry level, and he's a great player. And Taves, he's making 4-1 for the next couple of years. But you would still have to flesh that out. You still got to have enough money to flesh out the rest of your roster. Like, how many eggs do you want to put into your top-end basket here?
But you know that you have three of your top four, and one of them, as you said, still on his rookie deal. So you got three players out of your top four. And like we discussed the other day, like, you could probably put together a pretty good third pair with guys that still have some game left and want to win a Stanley Cup and maybe take a little bit less to be on the best team in the league. There are ways to get creative. So if you're able to put out, patch together a pretty good third pair, then what you're looking for is another player that's capable to fit in your top four. And it's not like it only has to be a four. When you got the best player in the game or second best player in the game in Cale Makar, Devin Taves, if you haven't looked at his numbers and watched him play, go take a look at those. He's insane. And I have no, as long as he's healthy, Bowen Byram's top four defenseman. So you're not looking for a number two or anything to sit in to plug in there. You're looking for a guy who's a four. Like, you could get that done.
I'm just saying, could be wrong. Kadri's 4 or 5 right now. He's probably looking to around close to double that.
Oh, it's going to be tough market. For sure. But there are ways you can get creative. And I just don't think that the blue line needs that much work because you have three studs there.
But then that's just part of it, right? Because up front, they got a lot of bodies that are UFAs, RFAs, you know, to flesh out the rest of your roster.
Anyways, yeah, and two of them, two of them beyond Kadri are real big because Burakovsky and Nikushkin were huge contributors to that lineup. The rest of them, like, they contributed for sure, but you're obviously going to lose a Cogliano and a Helm. And if not, like, those are guys that can easily come back for close to league minimum to be a part of a special run again on a fourth line. So Lekkonen needs a new deal too. Like, they have tons of work to do.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to, and I wonder what McKinnon's going to come at. And he said, again, he's willing to maybe leave a little bit on the table. Nate McKinnon should be making probably 10 on an AAV on his next contract. Thereabouts, right? Like, I think that's pretty fair to say of what his value is. You're already paying Rantanen in 9.25, Landeskog 7. I think Kadri's going to be north of 8 to get that done. And then you start to go down through through the rest of your roster. It's just, I hope they can, I don't want to see teams that, you know, that they've got runs left, and this is a great team. And this gets back maybe to our previous conversation about, you know, we've got things like bird rights in the NBA, and there's other ways where the cap can get a little more flexible. And it's a way to kind of reward teams that are drafting and developing right and put a good team together. So it gives them an opportunity. They can spend a bit more to keep that team together. Like, I wonder if the NHL will ever get to that point, but it doesn't sound like that's not something that, you know, Gary Bettman and the owners seem to be interested in, because it's a shame when you see teams start to get dismantled And it's not because, well, this isn't working. No, they're getting dismantled. It's like, well, we just got too good. We got too good, and this is a parity-driven league, and we got to start to make these tough choices, even though the money that we're making with the popularity of our team and our fan base and all that, we can justify this expense, but we're not allowed to do it under the salary cap. So that's kind of the price of winning in the NHL, which brings us back to how unreal it's been, how good Tampa's been, and getting back to three straight finals in this era. Like, that's a huge part of it. And their advantage of being in an no-tax state. It all comes back to money, doesn't it? Anyways, interesting comments from Nazem Kadri, but not surprising. He should be telling them, yeah, I'd like to be with you, but this is the number. And if this isn't going to be the number, then I am going to go to market because I will get that money somewhere. Now, the problem with that is if Nazem Kadri goes to market, he's going to get paid. And he's going to get paid like a number one center. Can he go into a team and be their number one center? Because you had a great year, but you're playing right in behind Nate McKinnon. That's kind of a different animal if you're drawing all the top checking and you are the number one center on another team.
Totally.
Something to think about.
I'm just wondering, I wonder if there's a chance or a fit or a scenario where he would be number two and maybe number one is on a bridge deal or an entry level or just not making like $10 million yet. And you're not, or maybe he is the number one, but you got a situation where you got a really good number two and you got like a 1A, 1B situation where you're not paying two guys $10 million kind of thing.
Got to find another Colorado situation where a number one guy's like McKinnon and you know he's making only 6-3 for the next 3 years or so. But now he's only got a year left on that, McKinnon does. Unfortunately. Anyways, one of many scenarios worth watching, but don't blame Kadri. He should be telling the Avalanche, I'm going to market. Unless, you know, if this is the number. You only get one go around at it to make as much money as you possibly can. And he's got leverage. He's earned it. Stanley Cup. We heard what he said post game, what he thinks of the doubters as well. And what a year. He's got that ring. He should be going to market, and in all likelihood, of course, will be getting paid here. Wanted to get into that. I didn't bring this this story up yet, Preacher, but it's in our lineup here. I find it interesting just because I wonder where, you know, this is going to go, you know, financially. The World Cup is coming up in November. The ticket story that has come out within the last day. So FIFA says they have sold 1.8 million tickets for the World Cup coming up in Qatar late this fall. They plan on selling 3 million tickets for this event. 28 days kicks off on November the 21st here. And in this story, and this is interesting, and of course we know that AJ is going and some other people that we know from Ottawa are going, they also released a little bit of data about where the tickets are going. So aside from the host country, and there's been a mechanism in place where there's been some dibs, which is not abnormal for World Cup for people from said country to have first crack at it. Aside from Qatar, top countries where fans bought tickets are Canada, England, France, Germany, India, Saudi Arabia, Spain, United Arab Emirates, and the United States here. So interesting, like Canada, this is only the second time. There's been a pent-up demand, obviously, from soccer fans in this country. I was a little surprised. That Canada is one of the top countries where the ticket sales are going here. So it just speaks to, you know, how long soccer fans have been waiting for this and how difficult. I've heard AJ, mm-hmm. you know, tell a story about how tough it is, about you can't get your accommodations till you prove you have your ticket and you got to jump through these hoops. And we've heard that was part of the players not wanting to play those friendlies because they didn't like how Soccer Canada wasn't taking care of a few. Like, there are so many different layers to it. Point is, it's not easy. If you're not from there, it's not easy to get tickets and get accommodations and go. And it doesn't seem to be stopping people in Canada saying no, to the point where they're one of the top countries for foreign tickets so far.
Yeah, you got to think part of that is because of the hoops. Fans in other nations that regularly see their country play and appear in World Cups, this could be one of the easier ones to skip. Whereas it's been so long, and who knows where it'll continue to go. Obviously, it looks bright for the system now. But when you've been waiting all your life to be able to have this opportunity, you jump at it. So I think that explains the good chunk of the 1.8 million that have been sold. Maybe we should make up the remaining 1.2, Lloydie. Hey, should we go?
Wow. Just you and I'll take care of that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We got that. No problem at all. Anyway, interesting story. You know, how many tickets are sold, and that in Canada is one of the top countries in the world for foreign tickets sold to go to the World Cup coming up in November. All right, I've got another topic I want to get in here before we take our next break that we haven't brought up. It kind of ties into, not directly, where we're talking about Kadri, but when you're a player and you've got options, right, but sometimes your heart's in a certain place, you would love to be able to stay in a certain place, but if it doesn't work out, then you got to take the money that's available here. The Freddie Freeman story is interesting. Freddie Freeman, who's a pseudo Canadian, right? Because his mother was Canadian and played for Canada at the World Cup a number of years ago. So he a longtime Atlanta Brave, fan favorite, all-star. He's a Brave, right? Well, now he's a Dodger. Well, Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers came back to Atlanta over the weekend, and it was pretty emotional for him to come back. Now, Freddie Freeman has fired his agents within the last couple of days. I guess there's a registry with MLB.com. You can go there, and now he's listed as kind of representing himself here. Nobody is offering official comment on this. Freeman told MLB.com, last weekend in Atlanta was a very emotional time for me and my family. I'm working through some issues with my longtime agents at XL. My representation remains a fluid situation. I will update if needed. So the background on this, he was negotiating with the Braves. They weren't getting to a number. Braves made a $135 million five-year offer that was still on the table in the first days after the owner's lockout ended. And that you got to remember that. We had a dead time during the lockout. You couldn't do anything. And then it was, all right, we got to get a bunch of stuff done in short order because pitchers and catchers are reporting like next week. And it was kind of rushed that way. So the lead negotiator for his agency contacted Alex Anthopoulos of Montreal, the head of baseball operations of the Braves, and presented two proposals on behalf of Freeman, significantly higher than the 135 offer. Braves bumped their offer to 140. Deadline passed on that. This is all Buster only reporting on this. Sources say Anthopoulos, and they all agreed that there were no offers on the table. So the Braves, believing that the deadline's gone, and they're not going to get a deal, and they thought that Freeman must have a deal with another team, likely the Dodgers, and that was the case. The Braves actually made their move first. They quickly pivoted and made the big trade with the Athletics for Matt Olson. They signed him to an 8-year, $168 million deal. So that closed the door on Freeman. So Freeman ends up signing with the Dodgers. So this certainly seems like there was a... Was there a miscommunication? Did the agents overplay their hand against the wishes of the player? Because it's no coincidence that Freeman comes back to Atlanta, gets very, very emotional in his return with the Dodgers, and that he thinks he should still be a Brave, and he doesn't like how it was handled, and now he's fired his agents.
Yeah, interesting story to read through, because obviously these feelings and information would be known as this contract negotiation was playing out, and he ends up becoming a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers, but interesting in that the emotions involved with returning to Atlanta and seeing former teammates and members of the organization that brings those back, which potentially lead to this decision, which I guess hasn't been confirmed by him or not. But wow, that's disappointing. And you could tell, like, watching, I didn't sit down and watch these games, but I certainly watched the highlights and them singling out and highlighting the every at bat and moment that he had. You could see the raw emotion that he felt, and obviously wanted to remain a member of the Braves.
No, and this does happen. It doesn't get this public where, you want to be able to do what's best for you and your family. You only get so many cracks at it. I know these are sums of money that we can't even fathom. Okay, but it's still you got to do the best you can while you are in your career. So I think most people, you don't begrudge anybody for that. But even in that moment, sounds like Freddie Freeman. Like I said, I've seen this play out in other sports and other ways, maybe not at this scope, where you push, but you always think that, all right, I'll come back to their best offer, but I'm just pushing as much as I can. But you got to make sure you know when to stop, right? Because obviously Freddie Freeman thought the music was still playing, but the music stopped, and then the Braves grabbed another chair. Now, is it fair for him just to blame his agents for that? I guess we don't know. Like, maybe there was a communication breakdown between player and agent, but it's kind of sad in a way, right? He doesn't think he should be a Dodger. And how do you feel if you're the Dodgers? You're giving this guy all this money, and now you 100% know that he doesn't want to be there, and you're locked into this guy. He's not only showing open emotion, which is fine and natural for a return to the place where you played. Now you fired your agents right after because you think they screwed up and you shouldn't be a Dodger?
Yeah, I don't know if I take that too personally because you would have known at the time of the signing that his priority would be to return to the Braves and how much emotion is involved there. But he's still choosing a world-class organization that's still a World Series contender. So I don't know if I'm taking that too personally, if I'm the Braves or if I'm a Braves fan. Like, you think about it, but, like, it's obvious. Like, if Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang move on this year, you know their priority is to remain with Pittsburgh. So, I don't know how much – I wouldn't be too hurt by that.
All right. We'll take a break, but I see a text that's actually not some sniping, so maybe I'll read it. Just to kind of tee up our last segment to come back to our previous topic. I'll throw the question at you, Creature, from Matt. Same money, same term, same health. Do you want Kadri or Malkin?
Kadri. Easy.
There you go, Matt. Says
Kadri. I love Gino, but if we're talking about them signing the exact same deal, given the age and injury history, it's not close.
One final segment straight ahead, then we'll hand it over to The Drive. Offside will air tonight. We'll be back tomorrow for the next edition of In the Box at 10. CJ's with me. Creature's going to be on The Drive. It'll be a Red Blacks Lions game day. And we're into Canada today. I kind of steal that from JR. He always says it that way because everybody feels that way on Canada today. On the eve of that.
Including you, eh?
I just stole it. I just said admit it. I stole it.
No,
Red Blacks Lions tomorrow night.
I'm singing. Are you going to be
getting in one?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Well, let's put it this way, Creature. I'm up at the lake.
Yes. Okay. Confirmed.
Got some cousins coming up from London as well. And I'm at the lake.
What's
on
your,
a dock?
We know that our good buddy Stevie Bund is going to be getting into some bush. What's your beverage of choice for Canada Day?
My summertime, right now. Like, I love my my craft browns, right?
Yes.
I'm particularly fond of the Ashton Brown, but I like brown beer. But I find I'm more of, like, that's more of a fall, definitely winter kind of a feel.
Absolutely.
I'm more of a Perth Brewery Calypso IPA kind of a guy.
Oh, baby.
And that's not too far from where I'll be on Friday. I might have to make a pit stop. All right. We're back in a moment. Oh, man.
Oh.
It's Friday yet? Look, you got
Kenny,
me talking.
Kenny just pulled a Conus Vita. He doesn't care about the music. I'm just stopping it. That's it.
One more segment straight ahead. Sorry, Kenny. Don't make Kenny mad. In the Box continues on TSN 1200. Oh, I got a suggestion here. All right. Apparently, I got to put in an order at for Powerhouse Brewery in London. Get some of that brought up. All right. Noted. I'll get that in there.
Nice.
Forklift guy. Coming back to a lot of the things that we've been speculating, but now we're getting really into this offseason. And this is a name, and how could you not think this would be a good idea if you could somehow make it work with the money and all that and justify it? We'd like to see the Sens go after Josh Manson, pair him up with a hot Sam Bacho. Thoughts? Yeah. The way he played in the postseason. How could you not be impressed with Josh Manson?
Yeah, on top of that, you slide everything kind of down, right? And I think there was a lot of people kind of questioning what the reason for the return on the Hamonic deal. But when you just look at it on paper and he's on the third pairing and you got Zub solidifying a second pairing and then you have someone that you believe can for sure solidify a first pairing with Shabbat, it just slots everyone a little bit better and you start to like the makeup of the blue line a little bit.
Well, and you know, generally for the roster as well, right? What we're talking about is at the other end of things. It's fine to talk about what does the team need? What would they like to do? Of course, they'd like to find another top 4D. And of course, they'd like to find another top 6 scoring forward. I would think preferably a winger, right? That would slot in on that right side, right in behind Batherson. But then that leads to so many other questions. The Connor Brown story that dropped a couple of weeks ago, what's going on there? How much credence can we give that? And also, what about the players and contracts that, you know, just don't fit when you keep talking about the improvements you want to make? What is going to happen with Colin White? Will he be traded? Sounds like they had a trade pretty much almost done with Montreal, didn't get over the finish line at the trade deadline. Could something like that be revisited? What would that look like? If not, failing that, would you buy him out at one-third because he's young enough? I have a hard time believing that Colin White is going to be here when camp opens. Mm-hmm. Stranger things have happened, but it would seem one way or another he's probably played his last game with the Senators, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. The Matt Murray situation. You've got the three goaltenders on one ways. There's already been out-of-market speculation coming from a couple of different places, possibly teams that would be willing to take on Matt Murray, but what does that look like? How much do you have to eat? What do you got to take back? And then you get to Nikita Zaitsev, who, what he makes and what you're trying to improve your blue line, then, so if you're going to bring in, let's say you can bring in another top four guy, and so you think that if not right away, I think that you're counting is maybe too strong, but you would think it's a matter of time that Sanderson's going to be thought of in that vein, right? So are you going to have a defenseman making that kind of money playing as your six, and would you be prepared to scratch him some nights even? Or are you going to try to be aggressive and creative with that in trying to move on from that contract as well? Because you still need to free up money as well. You're not going to be a full-on cap team yet. You got to sign Norris. Can you get Stützle done? Like, there's so many things, right? Like, one question, a simple text, hey, it'd be nice to get Manson, leads to this, 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 and this, and this. Right? And that's what makes it interesting. There is, you want to talk about an overused term, but fluid situation is fitting here.
Like, yeah, big time.
Do they want to improve the team? Of course they do. But let's say you go out and do that. It's like, all right, then that means you have to do something over here now. It's whack-a-mole, right? You play whack-a-mole. You're at the X. You're at the fair. It's one of those games. You just get hosed by the person working the game if you're a kid. Man, I spent $20 one time, like a long time ago, and all I got was a stupid AC/DC mirror. And I think I spent like $20, and this is 30 years ago at least, right? And in the moment you're thinking, hey, look, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I just got worked. They worked the kid. And as a kid, I realized it as I walked away. But that's basically what it is. If you can solve one issue here, then that means you got to do something else here.
Hey, Steven.
Yes.
You mowed the morning show's lawn a little bit yesterday. Mind if I do the same thing to close out the show here?
What happened? What are you referring to in mowing of lawns?
On this date.
Ah, yes.
1994. The Sens draft Daniel Alfredsson 133rd overall.
Oh, there you go.
We gotta keep the Alfie love going, eh? All week.
That's good. Now, speaking of which, as CJ's sitting in, I know he's got an iron in the fire for us tomorrow to keep that love going as a guest.
Nice.